Very good morning to all of you and also to those who are joining us via live stream. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this new day. We give thanks that we can be here to receive your word. We ask the Lord you give us attentive ears to hear your word and help us also to respond to you accordingly. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, my dear friends, today marks the start of the Advent season, which will last till Christmas Eve. And I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, would know that the word Advent means coming. And it has to do with the coming of Jesus Christ. And not just Jesus' first coming through his incarnation 2,000 years ago, but this is also about Jesus' second coming on the day of judgment. And therefore, my friends, Advent is a period for us as Christians to prepare ourselves not only for the celebration of Christ's first coming, but also in anticipation of his return as well. And this is why in our lectionary, the New Testament reading for today on the first Sunday of Advent is from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36, where Jesus highlights the certainty of his return and the call for his disciples to be ready for his return. And you know, my friends, this matter on Christ's return is of such importance to our Christian faith. You see, without Christ's return, the New Jerusalem will not come, and our fight against sin and evil will never come to an end. Without Christ's return, we will forever be asleep in our death with no hope, no eternal life to look forward to. Without Christ's return, there is basically no point in becoming a Christian, since all of us will end up in eternal death like everyone else. Now, this is why the subject on Christ's return is such a dominant thing in the New Testament, where the early Christians were constantly reminded to focus on. And this is also why the very last prayer of the New Testament, which is read at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, that very last prayer has to do with this deepest longing for Christ's return. Now, Christ's return is not only a matter of absolute importance, but also a matter of absolute certainty. And in our passage today from Luke 21, Jesus used this parable of the fig tree to show us how we can be so sure about the order of the eschatological events, like how we can all be very sure about the order of the natural events, such as the change of season. In verse 30, Jesus spoke about the trees coming out in leaf, which refers to the start of spring. And this also means that summer is coming soon, without a doubt. And guess what, my friends? You know, 2,000 years later, after Jesus has spoken about this, this natural order of events remains the same. If you tell someone today that summer will come after spring, or maybe for us in Singapore where we don't get to experience the change of season, so let's say if you tell someone right now that evening is coming soon, in just a few hours' time, would anyone ask you, are you sure? Of course not. In fact, you might probably get a very weird stare, because you are stating an undeniable fact known by the entire world. So in the same way, there is absolutely no doubt concerning the impending return of Christ when the events leading up to it has begun to happen. And what are these events that point to Christ's return? Well, we find them mentioned by Jesus in verses 25 to 27. Jesus spoke about the occurrence of unusual astronomical events, the roaring of the sea and waves, people fainting with fearful apprehension of what is coming on the world, and the shaking of the powers of the heavens, which may refer to earthquakes or to the disruption of the forces of energy which hold everything in the universe constant. And my friends, if we look back at history from the time these events were foretold by Jesus, or if we just look back a few decades, the past few decades, I think we can all agree that those events that will lead up to Jesus' return has indeed begun. The leaves have come out, and therefore Jesus will surely be returning soon. In fact, if we look at verse 33, Jesus added that his return will be even more certain than the permanence of creation and its natural order. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." This promise of Christ's return will happen without a doubt. Now, it may be quite tempting, you know, to pause here and to dwell on those events that Jesus has foretold, or to wonder in our minds if COVID-19 is one of those events, and, you know, and make speculation of other things that may be happening around the world today. But my friends, Jesus wasn't done in his conversation with the disciples. In fact, what Jesus went on to say in verses 34 to 36 may very likely be his drive-home message to the disciples and to all of us here today. And that has to do with the call for the disciples to be ready of his impending return. Now, I'm very sure that all of us here, we will spend time and effort to get ourselves ready for an important event in life, or in fact, for every important event in life. Our major exams, our first job interview, our wedding, even for my son who has just completed his PSLE, his first major exam, we took a year just to prepare for that. So how can we not get ourselves ready for Christ's return, which is of absolute certainty and utmost importance to all of us for eternity? And if we look at verses 34 to 36, Jesus pointed out what it means for us to be ready for his return. And the first has to do with being watchful. In verse 34, Jesus says, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, with drunkenness, with the cares of this life, and that they come upon you suddenly like a trap." You know, even though prior to this, Jesus has been talking so much about the signs leading up to his impending return, but at this point, Jesus calls the disciples to pay careful attention not on those signs, but on how they were living their lives. What was weighing their hearts down in life? What did they care most about every day? Because if they were not careful on how they live, it will be so easy for their hearts to be weighed down by the indulgence and anxiety of this life. Now, do you realize that over here, Jesus was not just addressing someone in the crowd who may be a nominal follower of Christ, but Jesus was talking to his closest disciples. These were the ones who had spent such intimate moments with the Son of God. These were the ones who had personally witnessed Jesus' divine power. But even so, these disciples who had been so close to Jesus could still easily succumb to the indulgence and worries of this life if they did not watch themselves carefully. In other words, no one on earth, none of us, should ever think that he or she will never succumb to what Jesus was warning the disciples about. It is just so easy for anyone 2,000 years ago or for anyone today to let our hearts be crowded with the cares and pleasures of this life. Perhaps if we could make a list of things that we have done or thought about for the past 1 week, we might be surprised by how many things in that list would have something to do with the cares and pleasures of this life. And the problem is this: when our hearts are weighed down by the cares and pleasures of this life, there is simply no space left in our hearts, in our minds, for the matters concerning Jesus' return. We will just be too distracted to remember that our life here is only temporal, too distracted to remember that we are just sojourners in this world and our citizenship is in heaven. We will be too busy or too bothered by the things of this world to remember that we will need to stand before the Lord on that final day to give an account that has eternal consequence for us. Now, do you realize that we actually proclaim Christ's return every Sunday? We are actually reminded of Christ's return every Sunday, either through the recitation of the Creed or when we go through the Eucharist prayer. But how easy it is for us to forget all about Christ's return once Monday comes, or sometimes Sunday evening comes, and the cares and pleasures of this life just very quickly overwhelms us once more. And my friends, I suspect this is one of Satan's best strategies to keep us away from the things of God and from getting ourselves ready each day for Jesus' return. This is one of Satan's best strategies, simply by enticing us with the pleasures of this world and making us think that we need them, and also by occupying our minds with the innocent things in life and making us think that we cannot stop worrying about. And quite sadly, even the Christmas season, you know, where the focus is supposed to be on Jesus' first coming and his return in judgment, it has now become so commercialized, and the attention can so easily be on the feasting and the latest fashion, on Christmas shopping and winter holiday. You know, J.C. Ryle made this comment, which I find it quite sobering. He says this: we are to remember that evil is about us and near us and in us, that we have to contend daily with a treacherous heart, an ensnaring world, and a busy devil. A busy devil who will take every available opportunity to distract us from Jesus' impending return and our readiness for it. So, my dear friends, we need to be very watchful on how we live our lives each day. And this Advent season is a very good time for us to slow down, to examine our lives, and to realign ourselves to the direction that God is leading us, especially if we have found ourselves too distracted by the things of this year or of this world. Now, besides being watchful, Jesus also pointed out another important aspect on what it means for us to be ready for his return, and that has to do with being prayerful. And in verse 36, Jesus called the disciples to pray specifically for the strength to escape all those things that are going to take place, which Jesus has foretold right from verse 8 onwards. Now, this prayer is not about escaping from the physical harm, from the physical danger in this world prior to Jesus' return. You know, it is not about asking Jesus to give us a special pass that allows you to skip over whatever unpleasant situations while we wait for Jesus' return. If that's possible, if there's such a thing as a special pass, then Jesus wouldn't need to waste his breath in saying all those things in verses 8 to 35 just to prepare the disciples for what is to come. But my friends, I believe this prayer has to do with escaping from spiritual harm. You know, those terrible events foretold by Jesus were actually consequences of God's judgment on the wickedness of mankind. And that is why in verse 22 it says, "For these are days of vengeance, days of God's judgment on the wickedness of the Jews." And therefore, you know, we are called to pray for strength to escape from the wickedness, to escape from the temptations of this world that will pull us away from God and that will lead us to the ultimate consequence of facing God's wrath. We are to pray that we may stand firm in the Lord despite what we may go through in this life and even when persecution comes our way, so that we can continue to stand before the Lord. So that in the end, you know, we will not just be able to stand before the Lord through whatever happens in this life, but in the end, we may also be able to stand before the Son of Man on his return to judge the living and the dead. And you know, there's something just so amazing about this call to be prayerful as we anticipate Christ's return. Because this is a call not to rely on our own strength or our own ability to face what may come or even to face the Lord himself on Judgment Day. And my friends, if it is dependent on us, then none of us can ever stand in such terrible circumstances or to stand before the Lord on the day of his return. But to be prayerful means that we can depend on Jesus. To be prayerful means we are to hold on to Jesus, and he will carry us through until the very end. And my friends, this amazing assurance of holding on to Jesus can be seen in the whole of Luke chapter 21, even in the midst of all the wickedness and destructions in this world. In verse 9, when it says, "When you hear of wars and tumult, do not be terrified." In verses 17 to 19, it says, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." And then in verse 28, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And in verse 33, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." All that the Lord has said and promised concerning this life and eternity and concerning his presence with us, it will be fulfilled no matter what happens in this universe. Therefore, my friends, be prayerful at all times. Hold on to Jesus at all times. Because Jesus is the only one who can carry us through this life, no matter what the circumstances may be. Jesus is the only one who can carry us into his glorious kingdom on the day of his return. His return is definite and soon. And may we all prepare ourselves and be ready for his return by being watchful, by being prayerful each day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to give thanks for this reminder of the importance and certainty of your return. And Lord, we want to ask that you would be gracious and merciful to us each day. Help us not to be distracted by the things of this world that may so easily cause us to forget the things of God. Help us in every circumstance to focus on you as the Lord of our lives and as the one who will bring us to eternity in that glorious presence of yours. Help us to cling on to you each day, Lord. And even when even as we wait on you for your return, even as we look at all that is happening around us, and even as we face uncertainty and difficulty in this life on earth, Lord, may we not lose sight of the assurance and the promise that you have given to us from your word. So we commit ourselves to you, Lord, and we pray that your Spirit will continue to speak to us and will continue to prepare us as we begin this season of Advent in preparation for the celebration of your first coming and in anticipation of your second coming. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We thank